Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. I hope y'all enjoyed that new version as much as I did and as much as so many others had. Our scripture this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Amen. There is not as much room on this podium as it looks like there is. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
FYI, you will find most of today's scripture references on an insert that's in your bulletins this morning. I hope to do that each week now. I tend to use a lot of different scriptures as I'm going through my lessons. And I want to be sure that you can turn to those without having to be flipping through the Bible all willy-nilly. So feel free to flip through the Bible willy-nilly, but you don't have to today. I don't know about you guys, but something feels different here this morning. Lauren, were you playing a new piano this morning? Did you change your hair or something? I don't know, maybe it's because I'm looking at the congregation this morning from this position, and it's a position I'm not accustomed to having, but I'm still looking the same direction, so it occurs to me that what's different is you guys are all looking the wrong direction, right? You guys are all turned around. You know, my family and I haven't been members of Liberty Spring Christian Church for as long as many of you. We've been here a couple of years, and I don't always recognize when a tradition has become sacrosanct, I have to admit. And my wife can tell you that I'm just generally pretty oblivious to when things seem to be, when I seem to have shaken things up, I think is the way to put that. And I tend to do that. I tend to mess things up and shake things up and twist things around, and I don't always recognize when I've put people out by doing that. I just kind of go through life doing the bull in the china shop thing, and I'm a good bull in a china shop. But I do know people, and I do know the signs to look for when people are feeling a little uncomfortable. I know the signs to look for when people are doing their best to be as gracious as they can in dealing with the change that has been thrust upon them without any notice and without having been asked, and they're just trying to grin and bear it, and I get that and I recognize that. I'm not so clueless that I don't see that, and I sense a little bit of that here today. I have to admit to you, and I do this advisedly, I have to admit to you that I did this intentionally so that you would feel a little bit of that uncomfortableness this morning, a little bit of things have been changed and nobody told me about it, and it didn't go through a committee to turn the chairs around today, and so I wanted a little bit of discomfort here in the way things are set up, because I want a physical representation of the point of this message. I want this to be kind of a living object lesson that you guys are participating in this morning by being a little twisted around. You know, brothers and sisters, Liberty Spring Christian Church may be in the midst of a painful transition, and we'll see how painful it is. It may be more painful than any of you expect, for that matter. We may very well grieve the loss of fellowship with people that we have come to love, and I know many of us do, and not just with the servers, but with others that have gone on to other places. There is surely change in the works here at Liberty Spring Christian Church, and I can promise you it's not all going to be easy. Okay? So later on, remember that I made this promise to you that it was going to be hard stuff. And I can promise you that not everybody will like everything, and furthermore, that everybody will not like something. Okay? I'm very good at making everybody agree that, gosh, what, he's hard to get along with. But the things that are different here this morning, the man standing behind the pulpit, the way that the chairs are arranged, the song that we just sang that's a little bit tweaked from what it had been, those things are, on a fundamental level, those things are not the important things. Those things aren't even why we should be here today. And frankly, not one of those things is a legitimate and sufficient reason not to be here today. I hope the reason that you have all chosen to be here today is that you want to become closer to God. I hope the reason that you've come to spend an hour here with us today is because you want to be closer to the eternal God in the midst of a changing world. As we draw closer to an unchanging and eternal God, to the God that we serve in the midst of this changing world, brothers and sisters, He will bring us comfort. As He said to the people of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, He says to us today, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. An everlasting love, an unfailing love. We live in an age of uncertainty, and some of you probably have come here today uncertain about the future of this church. Some of you are probably here today uncertain about the ministry of this church. Maybe some of you have come here today uncertain about whether you will continue in fellowship and membership with this church. I get that. I understand. People change. Friends that were once close become distant. The things that once drew us together can even become wedges that separate us. People change. Their interests change, or our interests change. And then we find that we're different people, and that we've been separated. This even happens within the body of Christ, among followers of Christ. It happened, we see that as followers of Christ try to follow God's leading individually, that they become different and that their paths separate. And we see this in the book of Acts in chapter 15. Between Paul and Barnabas, who had been great workers together. In Acts 15, verses 36 through 39, we see what happens as they drew apart. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. People change. But institutions also change, even the church itself. Ministries that once buoyed vibrant fellowship and contributed to church growth can become irrelevant in the changing culture. They can even become weights dragging the church down into obscurity. Churches change. We see in the Apostle Paul's letters to the Corinthians, to the Corinthian church, an example of how churches change even in that early church. Those letters paint a picture of a church with a lot of problems, okay? Problems with division, problems with discipline, problems with immorality, problems with doctrine. But they were a body of believers. Don't miss that. They were definitely a body of believers. Paul had called them sanctified in Christ. He called them saints by calling. But they had strayed from the mission that they had been given. And they had strayed because of divisive egos. They had strayed because of non-existent church discipline. They had strayed because of an insufficient commitment to holiness. They had strayed because of weak teaching. This was not the church that Paul had planted. This church had gone off the rails, had gone astray, had changed. People change and move on, and we're tempted to say that we've lost faith in humanity. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we were never called to have faith in humanity. We have only ever been called to have faith in the one eternal true God and in the Son, who is the perfect representation and revelation of Him, and in the Holy Spirit, who inhabits us as believers. Churches change and we're tempted to give up on them. We're tempted to go find a fuller parking lot. We're tempted to go find better music. Better music. Your music is great, Lauren. But see, the thing is, that better music or the better worship feel or the thing, I don't like the word better, the thing that feels better to me about worship, the worship that edifies me a little bit more. Worship was never intended to be about us. And we're tempted to go off and find somewhere where we're more comfortable. And we do this even though we know that we are called to a body of Christ for the building up of that body, for the edification of that body with the gifts of the Spirit that we each have been given. We are called to do that even when we're uncomfortable there, even when we don't appreciate the style of worship there, even when we're frustrated with the sinfulness of the others in that church. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, let me stop there and make a big, important point. Every time I am frustrated with the sinfulness of other Christians, every time, God speaks to me and He says, Reese, take a step back. Take a step back and get the perspective that includes yourself in the mix. And recognize the sinfulness of yourself. Amen. When we get frustrated with the sinfulness of others, brothers and sisters, I tell you, our first step should be to take a step back and look at our own problems. Because when we start fixing those problems, we'll fix a lot of it. If each one of us started fixing our own sinfulness, be a different place. You know, the church is not pretty, but the church is beautiful when we do it through the power of the Spirit. The church is not easy, but the church is simple when we do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. People change, churches change, but the eternal God, the God who is from everlasting to everlasting, the God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the God who is the first and last, the God who is the beginning and the end, our God never changes. James said it this way, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. That's where we get the words from that song. The songs that we sing about him may change, as the one did that we sang earlier, but the God we sing about does not change. There is no shadow of turning with him. His compassions never fail. His love never changes. And Charles Spurgeon had something to say about God's unchanging love and how it manifests itself in the lives of those who love him. I really want you to listen to this. I really want you to be encouraged by these couple of sentences. The Christian knows no change with regard to God. He may be rich today and poor tomorrow. He may be sickly today and well tomorrow. He may be in happiness today. Tomorrow he may be distressed. But there is no change with regard to his relationship to God. If he loved me yesterday, he loves me today. I am neither better nor worse in God than I ever was. Let prospects be blighted, let hopes be blasted, let joy be withered, let mildews destroy everything. I have lost nothing of what I have in God. I cannot believe there's silence at the end of that. Somebody ought to be shouting amen. I'm serious. That makes me want to stand up and sing. That's fantastic news. Nothing lost in what I have in God, no matter what's going on. That ought to give you hope. God never changes. We can have confidence in this because we can know that God's character never changes. From the burning bush, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And then later, as he delivered the Ten Commandments the second time to Moses, God revealed to Moses some of his characteristics. And from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, I believe that's right, 34, 6 and 7, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. That should encourage us that God is the same God that we worship, that nothing has changed about him. Let me tell you, God never changes. People can be mean-spirited and nasty. People can get angry and fly off the handle. People can be unkind and deceitful. People can hold grudges, and they can treat each other unjustly, and they can do all that before 9 o'clock in the morning. Amen? Amen. But God never becomes less merciful. God never becomes less truthful. God never becomes less just. God never becomes less good than he always has been. The character of God is the same today that it was yesterday and that it will be tomorrow. The character of God is the same today that it was during the times of the Bible. That should be fantastic news. A.W. Pink was a Bible teacher in England during the late 19th century and early 20th century. And he was a writer, he was an influential evangelical writer, and he said this about our unchanging God. He cannot change for the better, for he is already perfect. Amen? Amen. And being perfect, he cannot change for the worse. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Because we know that a perfect God can't change, we can also know that his perfect truth won't change. But what is truth? That's the thing that Pilate asked Jesus as he was standing there trying to decide what to do with this man that the Jews were demanding be crucified. And before this meeting, a couple of hours before this meeting between Pilate and Jesus, Jesus had been sitting at a table with his disciples, and they had broken bread together for the Passover, and he had taught them some of his most important and hard teachings. And then he began to pray for them, and he said to his Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. God's word is truth. It was by his very word that God created light out of darkness. It was by his very word that God created everything out of nothing. His word is powerful and everlasting, and it does not change with the changing culture. What he said then is what he says now. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, and it was good. And now God says, let there be light, Liberty Spring Christian Church. God says that the church is the light. Let there be light, Liberty Spring Christian Church. Be the light. What he said then is what he says to us now. Nothing has changed. The psalmist wrote, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. In that same psalm, Psalm 119, we see this. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. God's word never changes. Church constitutions change. Amen? Mission statements change. Websites get updated. The names on the bulletin can be switched out from one season to another. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Are you looking for comfort in a season of change? Look to God's eternal word. You'll find his unchanging truth. And there you should find comfort. And if we know that God's truth does not change, then we can also know that Jesus, he who called himself the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus also does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture is John chapter 1. And John gives us in chapter 1 of his gospel a beautiful painting of the eternality of Jesus. I think that's on your pages there. Let's see if I can figure out where John is here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then later in that chapter, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was there with his Father at the beginning of it all. He's in heaven today preparing a place for his church, preparing a place for those who follow him. And he will be there to receive his church, his bride, when we are called home to glory. He'll rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords for all eternity because he has received the glory of God because of his obedient death on a cross for the sins of mankind. That sacrifice, okay? That sacrifice, that sinless Christ hung upon the cross for our sins, has the same power to save today that it had on that great and terrible day. When the thief hung beside Jesus, and confessed him as Lord. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the timeless message of the gospel. The writer of Hebrews calls Jesus the priest who continues forever, who holds his priesthood permanently. He writes that Jesus is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. And he contrasts Jesus with the Levitical priests. And remember, the priests of Leviticus had to continue to sacrifice for themselves first to cover their own sins and then for the people of Israel. And he says, for it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because he did once for all when he offered up himself. The sacrifice of our high priest was once for all. We can take comfort in the knowledge that his blood was and is fully sufficient to cover all our sins, all our transgressions, if we will only believe in him. And this is the same message of faith that we have been given since the beginning. We have always been called to a relationship with God through faith. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had that relationship with God through faith. And when they chose to put their faith in the word of the serpent instead of the word of truth, that perfect relationship was broken. When Abraham, on the other hand, chose to have faith that God would keep his promise to give him a son, even though his wife was barren and old, and Abraham was older, by the way, God counted that faith to him as righteousness. The plan that we should respond to God in faith has always been God's plan since the very beginning. Nothing that's happened in time, not the disobedience in the garden, not the rampant evil that followed and caused God to destroy the world in a flood, not the enslavement of the people of Israel by the nation of Egypt, not their escape and then their disobedience in the wilderness, not their exile in Babylon, not even the death of his son on a cross. Not one of those things has ever caused God to change his plan. He foresaw all of these things, and he even used the disobedience of his people and the evils of the world to accomplish his plan. We who claim the name of God can surely cause problems for ourselves. We can surely bring dishonor on our church with division. But let me be clear. God is not derailed by church politics. God is not derailed even by church splits. God will accomplish his plan. Brothers and sisters, this church has its share of problems. And let me just say that we have our problems because we all are so weak and insufficient. But here's the amazing thing about how God reveals his grace and empowers us with his grace. He specializes in using weak and insufficient people to do his work. His strength is made perfect in weakness. I can't save this church. You cannot save this church. Pastor Chris could not save this church. To the extent that anything here is broken, here's how it's going to be fixed. Each of us will have to submit to God's plan. Each of us will have to submit to one another. That's the hard part, amen? But each of us will have to finally recognize that God will accomplish his plan that he made so long ago with or without any one of us. God will accomplish the plan that he set out so long ago, frankly, with or without Liberty Spring Christian Church. Ah, I don't hear any amens there. That's a hard one to hear, isn't it? But let me tell you, folks, that may be a hard thing to watch your new interim pastor say on the first day behind the pulpit. But I want you to think how liberating it is. I want you to recognize how liberating it is to know that God's plan, God's kingdom, God's love do not rest at all on anything that I do or anything that this church does. Whether I'm successful or not, whether the church is successful or not in any world terms, has nothing to do with what God is going to accomplish. That should give you encouragement. Because knowing that, then you can step out in faith with nothing to lose. Whatever act of faithful obedience that God's calling you toward today, your hesitation to say yes isn't going to change his love for you. It isn't going to affect his plan. It's not going to change one thing about our eternal, unchanging God. But let me tell you something from personal experience. Your hesitation or your lack of hesitation to say yes will change everything about you. Your following what God's plan is for you will change everything about you. Have you lost hope in the church? Then put your hope in the one whose hope is eternal. Are you troubled by disloyalty and unreliability among people that you considered your friends? Then cast your troubles on the one whose faithfulness is to all generations. Are you exhausted by the world's ever-shifting definition of truth? Find strength in the one whose word of truth created the universe. Are you worried that changing priorities will shake up the whole purpose of this church? Well, remember this. We serve a God whose kingdom is unshakable. We serve a God whose purpose today is the same as it was when the first ray of light burst forth from darkness. Amen. People change, churches change, many things may change, but God will never change. And on that unshakable foundation, this church will continue to do his work. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. Let's pray. Almighty and eternal God, we praise you today, for you are worthy of our praise, even if nothing else had ever happened. You, Lord, are worthy, period. Your glory is, period. I cannot add to it. I cannot subtract from it. But, Lord, this church can reveal or conceal your glory. I pray, Lord, that you will convict us of the need to reveal it. I pray, Lord, that you will work through us, that you will bring unity in this church, that you will change this place and make it such a beacon of hope and light that the world cannot help to be attracted to it like moths to a flame. Father, I thank you that you love us and that your love for us is unchanged no matter what we do. I thank you for the release, the encouragement that that gives us, Lord, the knowledge that, Father, it's about you. I don't bring anything to this equation. Lord, as we prepare to go today, I pray that you will take us in safety. I pray that you would take us in peace. I pray, Lord, that you would quietly work in the minds of each person here. That you would show them your will for them. That you would show them how to be the light of the world in the world that they are stepping into outside of this church. That you would show them how to be the light of the world from this church within this body. That you would show them how to use their spiritual gifts to build up this body, to build up this church. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your precious son, Jesus, for the sacrifice that was sufficient then, that is sufficient now, that will continue to be sufficient. And we just pray, Lord, that you give us opportunities this week to even share that message in this lost world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Open your hymn.